Toronto Maple Leaf legend and all-around good guy, Curtis Joseph, joins us now. Curtis, thanks a lot, and welcome to the program. How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm pretty well. You can follow him on Twitter, at Cujo, and let's start off the top with the fight. What's your interest level in this fight? Will you be watching? Will you be getting the pay-per-view? What do you think of this spectacle that's going on in Las Vegas tomorrow?
I have a friend who's ordering it, and we're all going to go over and watch it. It certainly is an event that's worth watching for me anyway. My opinion is Mayweather is going to win in a boxing match, and if it was the other way around, it would definitely be McGregor. I think the next one they should have the first three rounds boxing, and if Mayweather doesn't knock him out, then it's anything goes after the third round.
Wow, that's a pretty interesting concept. I've never heard that before. I like it a lot.
Right?
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. They get three rounds, and if he doesn't knock him out, then they have to go to MMA. That is awesome. You know what I said yesterday? I said, who would win a fight between Mayweather and Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee couldn't kick?
Right.
I think Bruce Lee kills him just because of his hand speed. No question. And then I said, right, McGregor versus Bruce Lee. Bruce Lee kills him too because they get to use their feet. I mean, McGregor wouldn't stand a chance against Bruce.
Yeah, I don't think Bruce Lee all time.
Yeah, Bruce Lee's all time. So, Cujo, what have you been up to this summer? What's taking up your time?
Well, I have a house in Virginia Beach, so I spend a lot of time down there. And usually my kids come down there, but they all were training for hockey most of the summer. So, you know what that's like. They don't want to take any time off. So, I'm back up in Toronto now, actually. I had a couple events I had to do. And, you know, I'm back and forth quite a bit, actually.
So your kids, how old are the kids and what level of hockey are they playing?
Oh, gosh. My oldest daughter's 25. My oldest boy is 23. He plays hockey at the University of Alabama, Tuscaloosa. And he's smarter than he is a hockey player. So he's doing real well. And my other boy is going to go down there as well. He's 20 and get an education. And then my youngest boy is trying out for the Newmarket Hurricanes. He's 16, so he's a real go-getter, and he pulls me along for the ride, so it's a lot of fun.
Your son plays at the University of Alabama, and he plays hockey?
Yes.
What is it? Is it an NCAA hockey program, or what level of hockey is it?
He played D3 at Oswego, and they have so many guys there that he got recruited to go down there. It's called the ACHA, and it's actually a great option for any kid, Ontario kid, if they want to play hockey at another level. And so, like Taylor says to me, he says, "Dad, the girls don't know that we're not Division I. Every other sport in this college is, so works out great."
Oh yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm sure he has a good time. I'm sure he's a good looking kid too.
I thought it was an interesting perspective.
You know what? Kids generally have a different perspective than we do, don't they?
Right.
Yeah. So I imagine that is Nick Saban aware that there's a hockey program there? Do you think?
Oh, I don't know. Probably some of the football players have given pregame speeches, and some of the former football players. So I don't know anything outside of his office. I don't think he or the football stadium. I don't think he knows what's going on. He is a focused individual.
You've been to the campus, I take it.
Yes, yes.
What's it like? I mean, it's in Tuscaloosa, which there's probably not much other than the University of Alabama.
Right, right. The university itself, every building is either new or renovated in the last 10 years. So it looks like Pleasantville. It is a stunning campus, to say the least. So, and it's a great sports school. It has a baseball stadium right on campus. It has football, and it's basically an NFL football stadium right in the middle of campus. And the girls' baseball stadium is right on campus. It's spectacular. So I know he's enjoying himself.
Curtis Joseph is our guest on Twitter, at Cujo. And Curtis, look, you retired and had a great career. And at the end of your career, you know, you played backup here on the Leafs, but of course you were starting goalie and won a ton of games and single-handedly won games and series over the course of your career. And it sounds like you're doing all right in your retirement. But talk about the transition from being a frontline NHL player and then having to retire. I mean, that can't be easy for anybody, no matter how much money they've made and no matter how big of a star they've been.
No, it's never easy. And I talk to different athletes in different sports, like football or baseball, and they all say the same thing. They say it's the hardest thing that you have to do to transition. You've been working towards this goal basically since you're 10, 11 years old, and more seriously when you become a pro, obviously. And then all of a sudden it stops. There's no more training. You don't have a lot of your purpose goes out of your life. So you really have to, fortunately for me, I was 41 years old, so I knew I had pushed the limit. But you focus on other things. You stay busy, you focus on other things, and you have to realize that you'll never have a job as great as that one. So if you know that, then it helps the transition. But certainly I do appearances for the Maple Leafs and our alumni in town quite a bit, and I get to see a lot of guys, so that keeps me busy.
Let's talk about the NHL alumni. Glenn Healy's taken over. He's going to be our guest in the 11 o'clock hour. And there are a bunch of guys that play in the NHL and the NFL and MLB and NBA and generally some of the older generations and some of the newer guys where they don't plan accordingly for their retirement, or maybe they haven't made as much money during their career and they end up in a pretty rough spot. How much of that are you aware of? Do you bump into guys where they're not where they want to be, where they're having a rough go of it? Is that stuff something that you're aware of?
So when you're playing, you're not aware of it. You're so focused on what you do. But once you retire, you go to these events, you hear stories from different guys, and you hear stories of guys you may have been your hero. The guys before us didn't make as much as we did, and the guys before them didn't make as much as them, and that's just the way it is. And the guys who play now make more than we did. So, the money can go. It can go quickly. So the purpose of the alumni, and I'm so happy that Glenn has got this job. First of all, I was Glenn's goalie partner for many years in Toronto. So I've shoulder to shoulder went to battle with Glenn Healy. So he is one of the most stand-up people that I know. I can vouch for him that he's going to do the greatest job. He puts every ounce of, his person into trying to accomplish what he's going to do. So I'm excited about him working as the president. So, they're going to raise money for the greater cause of all the guys that need help, our brotherhood, our alumni that need help. So we all pitch in, and Scotty McKay also is a guy who works there that makes calls to everybody. He's not afraid to make calls and say, hey, can you come out? Can you help out? We're going to raise money. This is how much money is going to go to our players' association, our players' alumni. So it's a good thing, and I'm happy to be a small part of it.
Talk about your career in Toronto and some of the highlights. You're one of the best goalies in Leaf history. You came in 98-99. Tell us the story of how you became a Toronto Maple Leaf. It was a chance meeting, right?
Yeah, my agent Donnie Meehan had met Ken Dryden at the supermarket or the local grocery store, I believe. And I became an unrestricted free agent, 31 years old. And I think the Philadelphia Flyers were the team to go to because they, were poised to win a cup. They had the Legion of Doom. They looked like they were ready. And, of course, that's an attractive location for anybody. John Van Breesbrook signed there. And I think myself and Mike Richter were unrestricted free agents. So that was off the table right away. And Toronto became an intriguing place, even though Felix Potvin, who I respected so much, was there. And it turned out Toronto, made the best offer or one of the better offers. And it turned out to be a great decision, probably the best decision I had made.
So talk about those first few years in Toronto and how you reacted to being here and being a Toronto Maple Leaf and those teams and how far you guys went in the playoffs.
Yeah, it really was a whirlwind. The team had missed the playoffs consecutive years, I believe, and Pat Quinn came in with a new philosophy also, just letting the guys play. And we had a young team but a great group of guys. We all got along. Talk about team chemistry. Derek King, Todd Warner, Mike Johnson, you know, Matt Sundin, Steve Thomas. Just a great group of people. And you probably know all those guys, so you can attest to that.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had a lot of fun. And the expectations seemed to be fairly low at the time. And we just kept winning, and then we didn't stop winning and got into the playoffs. And lo and behold, we played Philadelphia and beat them out. So I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, talk about those series. They were pretty violent and intense series against Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah. Anytime you play Philly and you got Big Eric running around destroying people, it's everybody's on their toes. And we were the underdog. We got in, but we found ways to win and score timely goals. I think Steve Thomas scored more timely goals than I had a first row seat of him doing that. And it was a lot of fun to play in Toronto. We played, I think in that 4 years, we played the second most playoff games next to Colorado. So, you know, Leaf fans got a lot of playoff hockey and they love it. And they, now that I'm retired, they reminisce about it. So Leaf fans, they pay attention and they know every game, every series, every goal, every save. So it's fond memories.
Before we let you go, it is a renaissance here in Toronto with the pick of Austin Matthews, with Mitch Marner, with Nylander. Of course, he had some really good pieces in Morgan Rielly and Jake Gardner and JVR. And this team has really transitioned over the last several years. How much do you follow the team? And if you do, what do you think of the current situation in Toronto?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying following this team recently. What Brendan Shanahan and Lou Lamoriello have done, they have put together a young team. I always said you want a bunch of 23-year-olds, 22-year-olds that are going to grow up together, talented for 23-year-olds, and they're going to grow up together and win together. So they've assembled a great group of people. You know, you got your stars, but they have some other great pieces also that they plucked from somewhere. So they got to go in the right direction, and I believe that it's going to stay in this right direction with that kind of leadership. And obviously they got a great coach, and you know, they're solid.
All right, before I let you go, I give you $1 million and you have to bet it on McGregor or Mayweather, and if you win, you have to take someone for chicken wings. Who do you bet it on, and who do you take for chicken wings if you win?
I bet it on Mayweather, and I take my wife, Stephanie, because she doesn't eat chicken wings, and she doesn't eat chicken, so it would be fun to see.
And you'd get to keep all of them.
Exactly.
All right, Cujo, so, thanks a lot for doing this, man.
Thanks, Joey. Thanks for having me on.